Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, Kaylin Patterson, P for P Real Talk Midwest Muscle in the his out. And this program is sponsored by P4P Muscle. Big ones too, if you work them hard. The number one drug-free sponsorship foundation in the world. And if you are a drug-free athlete and are looking for a solid foundation to stand on and a vehicle to drive your goals like what, Des?
A Mack truck through ice cream.
P4PMuscle.com. And now let's piss off to Dizaz in the Hizzy.
Dude, are you making fun of me already? We're like 30 seconds into the show. Oh, okay. Like a Mack truck through ice cream. Yeah. Okay. I'm pretty sure that's what you just did. But anyway, I digress. I digress. We are in full countdown mode to the holidays. I know my youngest can hardly
wait. Busy sidewalks, dressed in holiday style.
Exactly. I was loving today's weather. If the rest of the winter were exactly like today, I would be all about it.
Yeah.
You know, you've been living in Iowa, the Midwest, too long when 35 degrees feels like balmy weather. And you're happy about it.
Right, get the sandals and shorts.
Well, you know, in Iowa, that just might happen. You see folks running around in here in shorts all manner of the winter. So anyway, on with the show. Woo! It's been a long day, and it's only Tuesday. We have an awesome guest tonight. First met this guy earlier this year, the Andrea and Ed Castillo show, the Spartan Classic, and he was absolutely phenomenal. I remember in speaking with him, I was like, you know, when was the last time you competed? I haven't seen you before. And he's like, well, I just got off of a pretty long break. And I'm like, well, that explains it. But he came off a break to win back-to-back pro cards in two different classes, so that was a pretty good little finger for him. So the individual that I am talking about and that is joining us tonight is Brandon Jason from Davenport, Iowa. Brandon, say hello to the P4P fam.
Hello, hello. How's it going?
I think they would say that they're doing fantastic. why don't you tell them a little bit more about yourself?
Yeah, I'm going with some background. I'm Brandon Chasen, Southern-born, Midwest-developed. Come from Michigan. I'm living down in Davenport, Iowa, in the Quad Cities now. And engineering by background, and family man. I got a beautiful daughter, 4.5 months old. And I've always been into fitness. I've always trained my body, not exercise. That's kind of my motto. You don't exercise, you train. And I did a show, 7, 8, 9 years ago. And this first year, I'm back into it and actually going 100% at it. So it's been a pleasure to have this journey this year and achieve what I've achieved already. So.
Well, that's pretty awesome. So I remember one of the things that struck me about you when I first met you is that one of the categories that you were competing in was, correct me if I get this wrong. I tend to be wrong quite a lot, but Classic Physique, is that the correct title for it? And your posing was just very striking. And I know that you are inspired by, I guess, what we would call classic bodybuilding. What about classic bodybuilding interests you the most?
Yeah, hands down, I mean, classic physique is where I get my inspiration. The 70s, the golden years, of bodybuilding, that's when you really saw a lot of the classic type posing. for the bodybuilding. Now, bodybuilding, you know, nowadays is just really grit, you know, muscle, you know, stick, move. You know, there's with classic, what really, you know, attracted me to it is, you know, there's a lot of finesse. Now, I have a different build as well. But, you know, just the finesse you go into, you know, the body outlines, you know, or smoke and mirrors is what I call it. But, you know, just the body outlines and the shapes of the older classic guys, you know, everybody can mention Arnold Schwarzenegger, but, you know, Frank Zane, you know, Frank Z, Sergio, I mean, those guys, you know, had the finesse on stage to where, you know, it looked like they had a tiny waist, but, you know, the legs and the arms and the chest were big and they were elegant in their movements. You know, that's just what really, really got into it for me. And that's helped me because, you know, I try to be fluid in my movements. I love the aesthetically pleasing look of a classic physique, you know, just the posing of classic physique nowadays is a lot different. I'm hoping it takes off a lot more. I know it's just really new to the game of the people bringing it back, you know, in the last year or two, you know, and making it prominent. And I still think there's a little stigmatism behind, you know, how classic physique is being judged. A lot of times I see classic physique being judged as bodybuilding. I want, you know, people to understand that they are two separate categories. And you're not just looking for the muscle. You're looking for the symmetry. You're looking for the elegance. You're looking for the holds to make it seem like you're actually painting a picture on stage. I know that's kind of cheesy, but that's just the way I look at it. That's, to me, that's what I really like and what I've really liked from the past. My bodybuilding, I try to mirror from those guys. So.
Mm-hmm. And it sounds like what you're looking for is the word, the essence of the category is what you basically tapped into. And you're a good representative of it because I remember the show that Des was talking about. And you definitely represented that well because you do have a good structure to work with for that category. And, you know, one of the listeners is asking, if you could speak a little louder because they are interested in this because this is the first time they've ever heard of it. So, you know, when you're talking about the difference in the category, it's a lot more feel, I guess would be a nice way to say it, and it's a lot more life in the posing. So could you talk about what separates bodybuilding a little bit more from classic physique?
You know, I think there's a lot of different phases of separation. A lot of competitions I've seen or been to with bodybuilding, you know, once again, it still gets into that grit and hold. You know, you're getting uncomfortable on stage. Everybody knows you can still get uncomfortable with classic physique, but you know, let's take a front double by. You're clenching, you know, you got a thumb in your fist or whatever the case is, you know, your chest out, you know, have the ground up game. But with classic physique, I mean, you can try to mold it into where you look like an old Greek statue. I mean, it's the way I would put it. You know, your hand is up, you know, you might have an open palm on one. You know, your torso might be twisted in such a fashion that it's more like a ballet kind of thing, you know, and but you still have that muscle build and that grid. You're still going to need that symmetry. You're still going to need, you know, the lack of, you know, water retention and everything that goes along with competing. But those are, you know, those are some of the differences. And then even with classic physique, you know, what a lot of people are, or committees are doing now, you know, especially IMBA, PMBA, and NPC is they're using the what I call the old school board shorts, the tight shorter shorts, and that still allows you to accentuate your legs and other attributes, you know, of your body. But that's another big difference. You know, you're not wearing the bodybuilding trunks as well. But that doesn't mean you can get away with not doing legs. I mean, you know, friends don't let friends skip leg day. So, there's a lot of, and I actually applaud Classic Physique coming onto the scene because there's two things that have happened. Physique guys actually start doing legs and showing legs if they have them and trying to get back into the, you know, the full body posing, you know. And what I've also seen is that a lot of bodybuilders are moving down into Classic Physique, you know. And I've seen some bodybuilders move into Classic Physique and look phenomenal. I think that's where they should be. And others, they still have too much grit, you know, there's no, you know, fluidity on stage with Classic Physique. I mean, I'm used to seeing side chest, you know, open palm or down to the side, you know, or side chest, kind of like the Arnold side chest. You know, you got both arms out in front, you know, showing your abs. You know, everybody knows the Sergio Champion pose. So those are the type of classic poses that are really defining Classic Physique, and those are what I like to do.
Now, in Classic Physique, I mean, like you said, it's new, and it really is just starting to bubble up, if you will. I would have to think that it's not easy to find someone who can help coach in Classic Physique posing. So did you work with a coach, or did you just kind of master your style of posing by looking at the old school athletes? I mean, how did that come into play for you?
It was a little bit of both. I remember, you know, when I got my coach, him and I kind of hit it off immediately. He's a Classic Physique competitor, a very good one at that. I mean, he's always placed top. So I'm going to give him a shout out, you know, Alan Plessy, APHS. But he helped mold my techniques and poses in person. Now, I still had a feel for, or let me say, I still did my research on what I've known, I've seen in the past from other guys who had a classic look at bodybuilding and try to mold. You know, it's going to take time. It's kind of like doing your first competition. That first competition is kind of just a stepping stone. It's a learning. You kind of better your poses, you know, every time you compete, or, you know, with more and more practice. So my coach helped me out. I did my research, and actually a couple of judges, you know, I'll even say Lorenzo from, you know, IMBA, PMBA, he kind of, and Andrea Castile, they gave me some, you know, we'll try to do this. Your body kind of looks like it would be good at this pose. And so I did it, and next thing I know, okay, that's my favorite pose. You know, if I go into, you know, a back double by, or I go into a side chest, that's the pose I'm doing for Classic because it feels natural. It feels like I'm not forcing it, but yet you can still see my muscles accentuate. So.
Okay. Now, it sounds like you have a lot more fun. I mean, you like competing, that's obvious, but it sounds like you're having more fun with the Classic side than the actual bodybuilding side. Is that correct?
I can't say I like one over the. Well, you know what? I would agree with you. I do like Classic Physique more. The reason why I kind of hesitate on it is that I want to see more individuals get into it. I want to see it grow. I want to see some of these poses. Classic Physique is the perfect opportunity to have different substance on posing, different changes of posing, different attributes of posing. Whereas with bodybuilding, it's the same. You might, you know, have a leg out there, you know, or do something a little bit different, but, you know, everything's straightforward with bodybuilding. I love bodybuilding. I got my pro card in body and in classic. Bodybuilding is easy if you really get down the routines for posing and stuff. Let me not say it's easy. It's not easy. but, you know, really trying to get into the mode of posing. You only have to hit certain poses and hit them all the time for mandatory. So it was more of a cardio or conditioning aspect. With classic physique, which I love, it's more so, you know, once again, you got to make your body a piece of art. You have to dance with it. You have to move. You know, and I actually do have a dancing background too, so it kind of works for me, especially when it comes to routine time.
Now
that is
also
something.
Go ahead, Dad.
Go ahead, Caleb. No, I was just going to say that is something I did not know. I'll come back to his dancing background later. Go ahead.
No,
I shouldn't have said
what I was thinking about, you know, because it's what he's giving basically a tutorial on how much it really takes for posing on either category, because, you know, I think that is something, and Des, you and I have both covered this, is how it is a lost art where, you know, it's almost not enough work put in. So, my question to him, or statement to him, would be like, how do you find the time to address both and be successful in both?
You have to practice. I mean, a lot of people, and if I'm getting ready for a competition, you know, a couple of weeks out, a few weeks out, I start practicing poses more. And I feel like a lot of individuals wait for their posing practice until the week of or week before. They're doing it once a week or so. Posing is a workout. I'm sure any competitor knows, especially bodybuilders, posing is a workout in itself. You know, when I have a coach, you know, I travel for work and I had a competition and my coach and I are FaceTiming and he's making me do mandatory holds for 30 to 45 seconds, I'm sweating and it hurts. But it was essential because when I step on stage, it's natural. And sometimes, especially when you get to the pro level, you are holding these things for long periods of time. So you really, it's really dialing down your posing. Now, what makes it easier is that right now for classic physique, a lot of the mandatory poses are bodybuilding poses with just some slight differences. And it's all about personality, whether you're bodybuilding or classic physique. So a lot of times when I'm practicing poses, I'll go from the bodybuilding pose and then that's how the workouts have been with posing, is I'll do a bodybuilding pose and then, okay, now what's your classic pose? Okay, bodybuilding front double by, keep using that as an example. Okay, bodybuilding front double by, hold 30 seconds. Okay, now classic. And I switch and hold that. It just takes time and practice. And I can't say that, you know, I'm the best at it. Obviously, I'm looking up to the people around me and especially the individuals, you know, who I've seen back in, well, I haven't seen, but, you know, looked at back in the 70s when they were competing. So just take a little bit from them each time.
I mean, and again, I don't think Kaylin and I can stress what you're saying enough, is that, you know, posing is so very important, and it is a weakness of mine, even to this day, and I continue to work on that. You know, some people have natural sass or natural flair, and then the rest of us have to practice some more until it looks natural. So, you know, it is. I'm glad that you bring that point up. And I do have to reiterate, you know, we know Andrea Castillo. A lot of our listeners who've been listening to us for a while know that she is a plethora of knowledge of pretty much all things natural bodybuilding, but she is also an ace at posing. And I didn't even know this until my last show. And so it does not surprise me to hear that she was in there giving you some feedback and thoughts on your posing as well. So she just consistently blows me away at the amount of knowledge that she has. I mean, it's just amazing. So that's my shout out for that. And now that I'll stop rambling and get back to this dancing background, because this is what I really want to know about. What kind of dancing were you doing, or are you doing?
you know, it's really helped out with my routine. It's a funny story because my first competition, and I've actually used this in my routine every competition except for one. I don't know if people have seen the Spartan Classic. I tend to do a backflip at the beginning of my routine.
Wow.
And I go into a lot of dance-type movements. Now, I can't say Kai Greene does a backflip, but, you know, I think personally he's probably one of the best routine bodybuilders out there just because he has a dancing background. Now, my background, I was on a professional hip-hop dance crew, actually, and, you know, we, you know, had, you know, all kinds of events that we traveled to and competitions and stuff like that. And it was choreographed hip-hop with, you know, some b-boy in it and everything. I was a part of the b-boy crew as well, you know, breakdancing and whatnot, you know. And
wow.
So
I might need to get some lessons from you.
Yeah, well, I can't move as much as I used to, but I sure still have a little bit of rhythm. I think I get that from my family or my mother or whatnot. But then I went actually, you know, when I, you know, got out and I was out of college and I was still, you know, wanting to do a little bit of, you know, hip hop. Actually, for a few years, I started teaching a hip hop exercise class at a gym I was working at. You know, on the side, I was still an engineer. And that was my way to get a workout and also teach choreography to, you know, people who come in and wanted to get an exercise. And we do dance moves for a whole hour. We use weights while we're doing dance moves safely, you know. And so I just always carry that dancing background. So,
wow.
I know my coach said after the first
–
yeah, I know my coach said at the first competition, he's like, what can you do? And I said, well, I can do anything, really. He's like, can you do anything, like acrobatically? I said, I could do a backflip, like a back tuck. He was like, yeah, you're doing that. Okay, I was like, okay. That's what we're doing.
Awesome. So, but this road that you've been on, as part of your bodybuilding journey, it hasn't exactly been an easy one. I mean, I think you've had some health challenges along the way, haven't you?
Oh, yeah. I can say I'm, like, injury prone. But I recover quick. I go 100%. You know, this year, you know, before the Natural Olympia that I competed in Vegas, I got stuck with a major sinus infection. I had a fever at one point. This is a week leading up to the competition. You know, I'm sitting there freaking out, and you know, coach is telling me to flush, let's get some more fluids, you know, you'll deplete, because I always do. Prior to that, I tore ligaments in my ankle. I had to battle through that with a competition coming up about 2 weeks later. And, you know, it was rough. You know, I broke a finger doing rec league sports. I mean, it's a, you know, in my life, you know, I've had a lot of stories of things that I've done in my life. So a lot of, you know, activities, and you know, I used to be a drilling junkie. So I've had 12 major surgeries in my life. But all of them, I believe, were worth it. You know, I think one of my favorite recent quotes is from Teddy Bridgewater, who said, you know, you can't have a testimony without a test. So, I mean, that's how I feel about this year and all the adversity I had to face. But we muscled through it, and we got the results we wanted.
Well, I mean, I have – a question. This is not from one of the listeners. This is from me. Because there's so many times where everyone thinks that, you know, when you get on stage, it was this nice ride, this nice easy ride. And so it's really good to hear about those setbacks and draws, you know, those things that come up that no one expects, especially the person that's doing the prep. And the mental aspect of not giving up, because that's the challenge. You know, we all go through tough times, but it's how we go through them that define, you know, the direction we're going to go afterward. So could you speak on that, especially after 12 times? I'm sure, you know, going back to the drawing board had taken a new level for you.
Yeah, and in the 12 surgeries, they've been over years and years of, you know, abuse, especially recently. I mean, you know, up until you gotta work with what you have. If you are committed 110% to doing a show, competing, getting out there, by the time you hit the stage, you've already won. You know, I don't think anybody, if they get up there and they gave it their all and they get to the point where they're actually on stage, they've accomplished a lot. They've accomplished the majority of their goals already, and even if it's not to take first place, you know, or even if they didn't take first place. But, you know, it's even 2-3 weeks prior to my first competition this year, and I tore a growing muscle out. I had to go to urgent care.
Wow.
So this, you got to work around those things. I had to work legs in a different way. I had to still give myself some recovery, and it's fine now. But, you know, you have to work legs in a different way. When you're on stage, if you know, and this is when it goes back to posing practice. If you get everything down, your posing, your workouts, your routines, your diet, meal plan, I hate to call it diet actually, but you know, your meal prep, your meal plan, if everything is already in a habit and is smooth, then mentally you're already structured to be ready to get on that stage. That's how it should be. It should be right before you get into competition, you know, a week, 2 weeks before, you should be coasting. And at least that's how I feel, and that's what I do. Now, you're still going to get nervous, but you know, there's things that will pop up and you just have to battle through them. I mean, it's just a part of the game. I mean, once again, we don't exercise as competitors, we train. And if you're a competitor, you know, bodybuilding is a sport. You know, physique is a sport. You know, women's figure, all that. This is a sport. So you look at all these professionals that are on TV playing football and basketball and all. They are battling through the same things. They are mentally in that zone, just to get to the next point. So, you know, us as a bodybuilding community, we got to be in the same mindset and focus.
Well, one question from Greg, and it's going back to when you said you did the dance class, and, you know, I think a lot of people hate cardio because they're so scared of losing the muscle that they've worked for and created. How did you address that and not become deficient in the muscle bellies and the size?
For me, I monitor my heart rate and I do high intensity, then back off, high intensity, then back off. You just got to make sure it's not high intensity for long periods of time. And that's where you see, you know, the growth appreciate. Now, another thing is what's helped me is that, you know, if I did cardio or, you know, anything of that nature, I would have at least a 12-hour window before I left or I did any kind of weight training or resistance training. So,
okay.
For instance, I would do some cardio in the morning. I do my weight training in the afternoon, or I do my weight training first in the afternoon, and then I follow it up with, you know, the Stairmaster or the bike or something, so I can give 100% of my body from a strength and stability standpoint to the weight resistance, and then follow it up with some conditioning.
Mm-hmm. That answered them perfectly. Thank you.
So 2016 was kind of your re-immersion year, if you will, where you got back into competing. So not only did you earn your pro card, but you also made your pro debut all in the same year, which some might think is aggressive, others may not. Obviously, you thought you were ready, and you were. You had a great look. So you made your pro debut at the Natural Olympia. Kind of give us the behind-the-scenes look at what that prep was like and how that experience went for you.
That prep, we were prepping for that. I had done a competition about a month or a month and a half before. That was used as a guinea pig for me. I was continuing to grow and grow and get as much gain as possible leading up to that before I had to cut. Because the goal was, and you know, Coach and I knew this, is that I'm going to the Natural Olympia.
Yeah.
There are going to be competitors around the world, guys that are Hall of Famers, you know, that I'm going to be stepping on stage with, guys that have been doing this for not just a 3-4 years or a decade, some 2 decades plus. So the goal was to, you know, first goal of ours is always prep to where you're okay to step on stage. We accomplished goal one. Goal two is make your name known. And that was the goal two. And I was making my name known, especially being, you know, this year being getting into it and going full force and getting that pro card. And then, you know, the next thing is make the contacts. And you know, the top two goals, obviously, is get a top five placement or take an overall. Now, for this particular competition, the prep was macro overload. I got tired of 8,000-9,000 calorie eating days, but you know, eating so much food to where, you know, sometimes you got to wake yourself up at night and eat again. It got to that point, but I needed it and I used it all. Now, we were doing the prep clean, and I can't stress that enough, is that it was a clean prep. So I gained weight, but not probably a lot of fat. So when I cut back down, I was actually, and I cut down quick, I cut probably 2 weeks prior to this. We started dialing it back down just a little by little by little. I had probably for over a period of 2-3 months before the previous competition, I had gained about 3-4 pounds, I would say, at least of lean muscle. Now, I might be overshooting it, but, I mean, I came in and I weighed in striated, you know, still in that single-digit fat percentage range at 5 pounds, actually about 6-7 pounds heavier than I was at Spartan Classic. And I think I was in the best shape I had been all year, the best condition I had been all year. And I was really pleased and happy about that.
Well, honestly, you know, it's good to hear the respect that you took into the show itself, because I think that's something that's undervalued in respecting your competition and respecting the show that you were doing. Because I think, you know, a lot of times, and like Dez was saying, a lot of people can make that jump the same year they get their pro card, but there's a lot that might win their particular show or respective show. But like you said, when you step on stage against that caliber of muscle, and I mean, you can see it backstage. I think a fella that really taught me with a good whooping was Sammy Sisk, where he got out there and his body just did 180, and he looked good backstage, but when he got on stage, he looked that much better. I mean, it was just phenomenal to actually stand next to him, and I caught myself a couple of times with my head, like people in the audience, where I'm just looking at his muscle go to work, and I'm thinking, wow, you know, this guy's got it down. So, you know, that respect is a big factor, especially when you're going up against that kind of competition. Was there any kind of stage fright, or was your heart beating, you know, when you're talking about the Natural Olympia?
You know what? I would say 2 to 3 days before, you know, heart's pounding, you know, on the plane flight there to Vegas. You know, heart's pounding a little bit, and plus I'm sick too, and you know, all that going on. But once I actually got there, you know, I had already been there. You know, they always say act like you've been there before. And I was more so excited than anything to see all these, you know, people that have been doing it, and they're pros, and they look phenomenal. And, you know, I had to network. You know, I had to pick up on some things. Okay, you know, this is not the end for me. This is just the beginning for me. Where do I go next? You know, what is your trick? What is your trade? You know, how are you guys doing things differently? These guys are monsters. I mean, the Australians are always big. There's one Kenyan that made me look like I was a 7-year-old boy. You know, but you know, it's the one thing that people have to realize is when you get, and I had to find that out. That was one of the main reasons I did the Natural Olympias. I wanted to make my presence known in my committee, and that I wanted to feel how it felt to be on stage as a pro, and B, well, no, actually, I mean, that's the B part is just, there is such a big difference between an amateur show or a pro qualifier, and you get your pro card, and then stepping on stage with everybody who is just as shredded as you, just as striated, just as conditioned, but they might be a little bit bigger or might be a little bit better in other areas. So that's what the true difference is. I mean, I caution people, like, you know, if I were to do it again, I might do the same thing, but realistically, you know, I would have took a 6-8 month period off. I might take a year off and then get ready for it, but I wanted to experience for myself.
Now, you said more than once that one of your goals was to make your presence known. Did you feel like you accomplished that?
Yeah, I do, because I've made great contacts. I had a lot of talks and discussions with bodybuilders, you know, backstage, and just other individuals backstage. You know, really understanding them and their journey, and then they're understanding me and my journey. And, you know, I had a couple of call-outs, you know, saying, you know, I look good. I look phenomenal. My symmetry is great. I talked to some of the judges, and they were looking out for me, because I even got some feedback from the judges, you know, saying your posing technique is on point, you know. And up until that point, I was really worried about my posing technique, actually, even though I've been drilling it and drilling it. So that lets me know if I go back, I have their attention. So,
yeah. And well, this is something else that, you know, Des and I have talked about, is that, you know, good competitors want that feedback. You know, they don't know it all and they don't have every answer. It's always something that can be improved. And it sounds like you got your head in the game right, man. I really really appreciate and respect how you're addressing this. And, you know, I'm sure, you know, it's good to hear the respect that went in to what you were doing so you didn't devalue the stage, because that, you know, sadly I've seen that happen where you think somebody is going to do or place well, but their head just isn't right. And it shows on stage. And that's, I mean, like I said, when you step on stage, you can't hide anything. I mean, everything's going to be shown in every area. And it's almost embarrassing for the people that do know what it takes to compete to watch someone that's basically not mentally ready. I guess that's the best way to say it. And when you're talking about, like you said, with the Australians, you talk about somebody like Michael Waddington and Justin Figueroa. They're bringing the total package. I mean, they're not slacking because they know what it takes. So when you get out there with guys like that, that's got to be a great feeling, especially, you know, being competitive and seeing what really good is.
Yeah, absolutely. It was mind blowing seeing some of these guys up in person, and I take this at life. You know, a lot of a lot of what I think bodybuilding is, I mean, you can really judge a person's character of their bodybuilding mentality of how they actually carry themselves in life too, I feel like. And I say that to say this is, you know, when I step on stage, whether I win, take an overall, take a second place, don't even take top five, it doesn't matter. I want feedback. You need feedback. I mean, because you're still going to need to make. Now, I took overall the Spartan Classic. I still went and got feedback. I talked to Andrea. I talked to Lorenzo. I talked to the rest of the judges. You need feedback to make yourself better. And people understand. I mean, there's some places where a bodybuilder, you know, you can feel a little bit cocky on stage because you know you're going to take it over, but you're still going to have to deliver. Because if that cockiness turns into lack of personality, judges see that too. You know, if you're not on cue and on point with your posing and you just think you won it all because your body's in good shape, once again, it goes back to the posing. Judges see all that too. I mean, you have to have personality on that stage. And not just a cocky one, but you have to show it. So
what is next? What's next? You got your pro card. You made your pro debut. What's next?
Right now, taking an off season, a long off season, 6 to 8 months of growth. I think it's needed, of good, solid growth. Then I'm looking at there's a show potentially that I look to do, a North America show, Pro-Am show for IMBA. In Chicago in July. There's some other events that I might try to challenge my coach on since he does classic physique, out in North Carolina. Besides that, I really haven't set a mark on anything from a competition standpoint. I know I'm not stopping, but I know I really want to take this period to grow and grow the proper way, you know. Once again, people take an off season and they want to bulk and bulk and bulk. And what's interesting is to see a lot of the younger guys. I'm still young myself, but you know, they get into I want to be a bodybuilder. I'm in the off season, and they throw on 30 pounds, but 29.8 of that pounds is fat. And so they when they try to turn it into muscle, they don't. And when they do, they cut down. They weigh what they weigh before. So, it's just really, really being smart about your off season. You don't need to gain a ton of weight, and pack on a ton of pounds, even 20 pounds is pushing the limit, I would think, at least for my body.
I'm sorry, say it again? Oh, my goodness. I'd have to talk to the coach on that one. I'd really be interested to see that kind of understanding, especially during a and that's a good point. And I love what you said about not calling it diet, because to me diet is simply what you eat, and I that's pretty much what I'm asking. What are you eating? What's going on? Stuff like that. So I'm glad that you bring that up, because we have almost made diet like a bad word. And basically, it's just what you're eating, what's your intake, what do you do with it, and how you expend it. So, we've almost put too heavy a burden, and there's a lot of outdated terminology, I guess the best way to say it, and it's really not helpful to competition, because like I said, when I first became aware of natural bodybuilding, and I will ask you about that in a minute, but when I learned about natural bodybuilding and they were talking about how, the people that I had been tracking or following were saying such negative things, it's like, oh, I hate this, 2 weeks left, can't wait to get back to bad food. And I'm thinking, I can't recall any sport that I've been a part of where I hated the whole process. I would be asking myself, why even bother? And, having someone on you, like you on the show, speaking of all the injuries you've had, still finding a way to enjoy it. What mindset do you take into this where it still stays fun?
I'm a competitor. I mean, by nature, by heart. It's fun seeing the results. To me, it's fun seeing different people and meeting different people from a competitive standpoint, and knowing that you've grown and that you're going to continue to grow. It's fun having the discipline in your life. You know, no matter how painful, you know, I always say there's, people say, oh, this is stressful. Well, there's two different types of stress, and people don't really realize that. You know, this is the good stress and the bad stress. And, you know, if you take the good stress, I mean, that's why I consider bodybuilding, you know, and the prep for it is good stress. You know, the 6-7 times a day, you know, meals, you know, yeah, I'm eating steak, chicken, rice, sweet potato, you know, asparagus, broccoli. I get my 10 to 12 egg whites every morning with a bowl of oatmeal, you know, really dial down to the basics. But I get used to that. And to me, that might not sound like a lot of fun, but when I see the results of it, I'm excited. It's like that's my Christmas present. You know, I worked hard. I mean, if you work hard for it and you see the results, I mean, the only time you should be negative is if you didn't, A, put in the work, or B, the results don't come. And that still means you didn't put in the work. So,
that's okay. Just how it's
right. You can't cheat the grind.
Yeah.
Well, one quick question from one of the listeners. How was your natural old pose down experience?
My natural posing?
The natural Olympia pose down.
Yeah.
Oh. That was, I loved it. I mean, we had so many pros out there, actually. I think they had a total of close to 30 pros.
Wow.
In the Open, we had, in the Open, in my lineup, we had about 17, 18, I can't remember now. And so we were in three lineups, three lines when we got on stage. And, I mean, everybody was giving it 100%. You're seeing these, like I said, you're seeing everybody backstage. And everybody's starting to chime in and become a family. You know, oh, you look good. You do that, you know. When you get out on stage, I mean, it was, you know, that's another big difference between doing a pro qualifier or amateur show and when you actually do a pro show. They get the crowd into it. If the crowd's into it, you're holding poses a lot longer. And you're doing a lot more posing. You're sweating. You might cramp up, and it happens. It's happened to me numerous times. But you grit and bear it, and that really is what makes the difference between a good bodybuilder and a great one. You know, you have that endurance to get that. And it was fun because, you know, not only were we doing the pose downs and the mandatories, and at the, you know, even at the end, you know, we got the crowd into it. You know, we're posing down, everybody gets to the front of the stage, we jump off the stage, we're in the crowd, you know, and, you know, I don't want to say it kind of went into like a Magic Mike show, but I mean, it was, you know, it was fun, you know. So,
I'm sure Des would have enjoyed that.
Oh, my. There you go. Yeah, I would have enjoyed a little hip hop in the aisles.
Now, there's one thing I want to get back to, especially with the injuries that you were talking about, because this is something I had never thought about until I had been severely injured. And one of the things the doctors had said is that mostly guys that look like I do don't survive those kinds of injuries. And I was kind of puzzled, but he didn't wait to respond after that. He just came right back and he said, because usually they're on some kind of enhancement or steroid or, you know, something that would debilitate the body to where they couldn't sustain the life without, like, the perfect alignment of everything. So basically, you know, with those kind of injuries, you know, I'm pretty sure that being a natural athlete is very important, especially when you talk about the recovery. So could you speak about that and how, you know, you're more in tune with your body by being a natural
Yeah, that absolutely. You know, not feeding your body things that it relies on helps your body understand itself. If you do things naturally, you know, at least for me, my recovery, I've shocked every doctor and surgeon on how quick my body has recovered from major surgery. I had 2 winters ago, I had a knee surgery that was a major knee surgery. They said, you know, because of damage to the knee that I, you know, pretty much they graded on a scale of, you know, 1 through 4, 4 being the worst, and they gave me a 3 to 4. So they pretty much said my knee was that of an 80-year-old's. That's how bad it was. Pretty much saying I needed a knee replacement. Well, they ended up doing a microfracture and osteo-wedge. 6 months afterwards, which it was probably, they said, at least an 8 to year month recovery, eight month to year recovery. 6 months afterwards, I was released with physical therapy, but I was released. They said I recovered. He didn't understand how I recovered so quickly, but that's, once again, you know, you let your body feel itself naturally, and then you tend to recover a lot quicker than when you're on things to help your body, you know, make these adjustments, and your body relies on it. And especially if you wean yourself off, you go a lot, you go exact opposite. So it's, you know, the recovery has been well. A lot of things with injuries, especially, you know, you see a lot of folks that have the injuries that are using steroids, you know, whether they be any type of competitor, and their injuries get so severe that they don't recover from it a lot of times. And I, you know, there's a lot of pro ex bodybuilders that we can name that that's happened to, or they digress, or they have a big regression with their muscle mass or strength. I mean, if you've been doing it naturally, you won't have that. If you don't have the regression, you won't have that. So that means your body and your dense muscle and everything that you set as a base in your body is already there. Therefore, hence, I mean, you pretty much can recover quicker than if you had an injury when you were on steroids. I mean, I see it happen a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Well, just one more benefit to being a natural athlete. There are many, 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 many. But regardless, nobody goes on this road alone. So we would like to turn the floor over or back to you to go ahead and give a shout out to anyone and everyone who has helped you through this journey from amateur to pro and through all of your surgeries and everything else in between.
Yeah, I'll shout out to all the friends and family, you know, and obviously I love my baby girl Tatum and the whole QC. I'm going to really shout out the QC Iron crew. We got a team out in the Quad Cities. You know, people hear about these teams over in Chicago, St. Louis, and all this stuff. No, we are developing a team in the Quad Cities. And we have people that are, we have competitors that are hungry. They are coming out, whether they are new or they have already been competing. So, obviously, Alan, my coach, you know, Tim Meredith, another natural pro, he's helped me out too, you know. Matt Burtis, Andrea Castile, Ed Castile. I mean, the list goes on and on. You know, I really want to thank, you know, family and friends and personally for supporting me and helping me through this journey. You can't do anything alone. I know a lot of people say that they can, but I've actually had dozens and dozens of people that have helped, and even close to home, you know, my immediate family close to home, you know, Tatum and the mother and my child has, you know, I've had a lot of help. So it's been a good journey. It's been a pleasure. And shout out to the QC Iron crew coming 2017. A lot of us too, we're taking over. So.
Oh.
All right. Well, I know what we need to be watching for now. I'm glad you gave us that heads up before we were caught by surprise. We'll be watching them. So Well, Brendan, we just want to say thank you for joining us. It's been awesome, and I know that I've learned so much more now about classic physique, and I definitely want to be seeing more of it. So thanks for taking the time to share with us.
No, yeah. No problem. Thank you guys for having me on.
All righty. Well, have a great night. And when you said you were taking a long off season, I was expecting like a year, 18 months. And when you said 6 to 8 months, I'd be like, all right, we'll see you next year. So have a great holiday season, and we'll be watching for you in 2017.
Yeah, very cool.
Thank you, guys. Merry Christmas.
Wow. So that was fun. I feel like I learned a lot tonight about an area that I didn't really know much about.
Yes, and it sounds like he did a lot of research to make sure he was prepared to actually step onto the classic physique stage. So that's good, because, you know, that really helps with the listeners and how they're questioned. I mean, we didn't really have many questions because they were being answered before they could send them in. So that's
yep.
awesome, you know, that he's putting that kind of work in, where it's not just the physical side, but he's actually addressing the mental aspect of it too. So that's great. I mean, I'd love people like that to champion the sport and do what they do.
And the part that I love about it too, quick side note before I forget, for all of our listeners who kind of tuned in a little bit later, you can always download this episode and the questions that you had about the differences between bodybuilding and classic physique. He covered that earlier in the show, so you can catch all those details once you download. But then getting back to your point, Kaylin, I really appreciated the part of, you know, he looked to the bodybuilders that he admired the most and
mm-hmm.
pursued that aspect of bodybuilding. And I think you can really see it in his passion for what he does, that it just shines through all the more because he chose an aspect that he loved. You know, a lot of times you get started in the sport and you don't know where to go, so you know, you look to your coach or you look to your friend or you look to whoever, well, what should I do? What category should I do? Should it be this? Should it be that? I mean, you really don't know yet because you haven't done it. You kind of figure out who you are and where
Good
you
point.
Are as you get into the sport. But he already knew
Good
who
point.
He wanted to be, and then he matched that with the category that best suited his personality. And, I mean, and you do hear that a lot because, you know, if you kind of get that with bikini girls who sometimes get to a crossroad because they know they're bikini, but their bodies have progressed to the point where they're figure, and they're like, I don't want to compete figure. That's not who I am. And so, you know, I just appreciate the fact that he already knew who he was as an athlete, and then he pursued that versus figuring it out on the fly.
Yes, and that is very important because, you know, there are shysters in the game. You know, there's people that, you know, they know what they want, but they don't know what's best for the person that they're prepping or training, and it shows. And I've seen, you know, we've been to enough shows live where you just know that a person's not in the right class for what they're competing in. And, you know, I've seen where they say, well, okay, we're going to put them in 5 different categories. I said, but all right, if you're a competitor and you're looking, like you said, for what you want to be good at, you don't want to be put in the smorgasbord. You want to be put in the place where you can really drive yourself toward that goal. And it's, you know, for the layman that really doesn't understand the competition and they see a good-looking person on stage, and they say, well, this person should win. And you look and you say, well, no, because they're not fitting the criteria for the class they're competing. And it causes a lot of frustration and tension that need not be.
Yep. I hear you. And speaking of hearing, our audience is about not to hear us anymore because our time is ending. So I think real quickly, give your snickerdoodle shout out.
Hey, snickerdoodle chocolate.
Yep, snickerdoodle. Oh, I like that. Snickerdoodle chocolate. Everyone, we want to wish you happy holidays. Hopefully you're going to be joining us on Thursday, but if you don't, please do appreciate the time with your friends and family, and we hope to be talking to you soon. On behalf of P for P, myself and Kaylin. Your body is a temple. Let's build it.
With Snickerdoodle.